Hi, tonight, this is the same shir that if I end up giving a shir on Shabbos, weather permitting, it's going to be the same shir, so you don't have to double attend. So tonight we're going to talk about Esav's wives, minor characters in a major story, continuing our theme. And actually, the main sources this week, the main biblical sources, I should say, are actually a few psukim from this week's parasha, but also really mainly a focus on psukim from Parashat Vayishlach. And you'll see why. Of course, this week we meet Yaakov and Esav. And not only do we meet Yaakov and Esav this week, but we also meet Esav's wives. Esav gets married not once, not twice, but three times in this week's parasha. Right before Yitzchak decides to start giving out the brachot, and that's perhaps connected and is an impetus for that event, Esav marries, and he marries actually two people. It says in the Torah, "Vayhi Esav ben arba'im shana, vayikach isha et Yehudit bat Be'eri achiti, ve'et basmat bat Eilon achiti, v'tiyena marat ruach liyitzchak l'rivka." Can everybody see my screen? Just want to make sure everybody can see my screen. Thumbs up. Good. Okay. So we have these psukim where Esav is 40 years old, which is interesting that the Torah should tell us that he's 40 years old. Doesn't seem to be the most relevant information. Usually, the Torah leaves those kinds of things to midrashic math. You know, every once in a while you read a Rashi that starts to put together, okay, this happened this year and this happened that year, so we can figure out how old somebody was. Over here, Torah tells us up front, Esav is 40 years old. Seems that that is relevant somehow. And he marries two women, Yehudit bat Be'eri Achiti, who sounds like a nice Jewish girl, no? Yehudit bat Be'eri Achiti, sounds like a nice Jewish girl. And then there's Basmat bat Eilon Achiti. Her name is Basmat. Okay. One way or another, this doesn't really seem to be a very good marriage from the family perspective because they are morat ruach. The English over here says a source of bitterness. Others, English translations say vexation. It wasn't good. Yitzhak and Rivka were not happy with Esav's choice, it seems. Choices, maybe. Okay, that's fine. Later on in the parasha, though, after Yaakov gets the bracha, after he tricks Yitzchak into giving him the bracha, and Yaakov has to run away, when Esav hears, right, that Rivka says, "I don't like these women that Esav married. I don't want Yaakov to marry Canaanite women. Let's send him away," and they send him to Chutz Laaretz to get married. So the Torah says, "Vayar Esav kiraot bnot Knaan veinei Yitzchak aviv." Esav at this point realizes that, okay, apparently Canaanite women, two of whom he's already married, two chitim, aren't good, and he decides, "Vayelach Esav liYishmael vayikachet machalat bat Yishmael ben Abraham achot vayot al neshav lo liisha." So he marries his cousin. He marries machalat bat Yishmael, the daughter of Yishmael, his father's brother, right, stepbrother, and so he marries a third woman. He marries into the family, so to speak. He marries his first cousin. First cousin, yes? Am I doing the math right? I'm not very good at this. Mike, that's a first cousin, yes? Machalat bat Ishmael?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, that's a first cousin. So that's what he does, which is all fine and dandy. So far, Esav has married three times, and we hope he finds happiness. Very good for Esav. Now, the problems begin when you get the Parashat Vayishlach. After we finish the story of Esav and Yaakov, the Torah decides to give us the genealogy of Esav. And it starts, Ve'ela todot Esav hu edon. Esav lakach et nashav mibnot Knaan. So he has two women that come from Bnot Knaan. Et Ada bat Eilon Achiti, vet Ahalivama bat Ana bat Zivon hachivi. These are two women that we haven't seen before. This one's name is Ada, and this one's name is Alivama, and we only know Yehudit and Basmat. Now they're identified as being Canaanite women. One of them is actually even a Chiti, and the other one is a Chivi. In fact, their father's names are a little bit different, and it kind of gets, the order gets switched. At least this one, Basmat bat Eilon Achiti, and over here you have Ada bat Eilon Achiti, only she's first. This is all very confusing. And to make matters worse, Vet Basmat Bat Yishmael Achod Nevayot. Now I'm really confused. Basmat Bat Yishmael, wait a second, it was Basmat Bat Eilon up here. The Bat Yishmael was named Machalat What happened? Vatelera dale savet elifazu basmati aldaat ruel, vali vama yaldaat yaish, or yeush, sorry, viat yalam vet korach, ele bnei isava shaludulo beretz knan. And then we find out that each one gave him a child. At least one child, each one. It's very strange. How many women did Esav actually marry? All right, so what questions do we have over here besides for what how many women did Esav marry and who are these women? What questions, what other questions do we have? Unmute yourselves, show me your faces. Come on, let's drop the questions.
It's almost like the Torah got, it's like the writer got mixed up. In terms of what he'd said in the first chapter, it got mixed up in the second chapter.
Okay, well, that's
you know, obviously untenable. That's how it appears.
Yeah. Right, that's obviously untenable. But so it definitely there's a murkiness over here of what exactly is going on with these women, and it's only compounded by the fact that there's no explanation given. Whatever explanation we end up giving at the end of the day, you would have liked the Torah to at least say something about this discrepancy. But okay, yeah. What else?
It's almost as if Esav says to himself, nobody that I marry pleases my father. So it doesn't matter who I'm married to. It doesn't matter what their names are. It doesn't matter who their fathers are. None of them are good enough.
You're saying it's almost reflecting Esav's sense of futility about who he's marrying. Like, yes. It doesn't matter what their names are.
Yes.
Esav gets confused. Like, so Mike is saying, it's not actually the writer who gets confused. It's Esav himself who gets confused. It's like when you know you're talking to your wife and you say somebody else's name and then they get upset.
No, I don't think it's confusion. I think it's futility on his part.
Right.
He like throws up his hand and says, "So I didn't like this one. I didn't like this one. So it doesn't matter who I sleep with. I can have any one of these women. It wouldn't make a difference to my father."
Right. What are you implying about Esav's motives over here?
That he does want to please his father, but he feels he can't.
Okay, and what would make you think that he wants to please his father?
Because he did go out and went to the mishpacha of Yishmael and thought that that would work.
Right. So Vayar Esav Kiraot Ronot Knan Bene Yitzchak Aviv, and then he goes and he marries Yishmael's daughter. So when he realizes that they're they're disapproving of his marriage, that's when. What's interesting is that at what point does he do this? He does this after, first of all, Yitzchak has given the Bechorah to Yaakov, after he's given him the Bracha, and only after he apparently discovers that Bnot Knaan are not on the desirable list for his parents. Which, what does that tell you about what came before that? That apparently he never knew that. That was never made clear to him. That marrying into Knaan was not desirable, which is interesting.
Rav, why do we read the second sentence of that of those two psukim that it's because he saw that they were displeased that he went to marry the daughter of Ishmael?
You don't have to.
Why does it mean that he maybe wanted to continue displeasing them?
Right, you don't have to read it that way, but there is ample reason to read it that way. That one line flows into the next. He sees that his parents are not happy with Bnot Knaan, so he marries Bat Ishmael, who's presumably not considered a Bat Knaan, unless you want to say that she is. I don't think she is. Ishmael is the daughter of Hagar and Avraham, so there's not really much Knaanite about him.
I think he's trying really hard to. In general, I think it goes into the thing that Esav gets a bad rap. You know, everything bad we know about Esav is Midrash and Parshanut. If you just look at the text, he doesn't actually seem to do anything bad. And he right. seems very upset about when he loses the birthright. And seems like quite a pathetic character from the Pshat.
Right, a tragic character. And how does that relate to the marriages, to the weddings?
Well, it looks like he's trying. It looks like, unlike Yitzchak, where Avram went and he sent Eliezer to find him a bride, but Yaakov and with Esav, they go and find their own brides, right? Yaakov does the same thing. So Esav starts, he does it, and he sees it not working so well. So he tries something better, and that doesn't work out so well. And he's really trying hard, I think.
Right. Are there any other questions that we have from this section? Okay. I mean, I think it's interesting to wonder, as we always do, is this really relevant to us and to the story? Do we really need to know about all of Esav's marriages? One specific question is, why does it have to tell us that he is Ben Arba'im Shana? How relevant is that? That's an interesting little detail that the Torah throws in over there. Okay. All right. So let's get started. So what do you think? How many wives? All right,
Rav Dani, just one point. Hello, Rav Dani?
Yeah, go ahead.
One point. Hi, Rav Dani?
Yeah, we hear you. I hear you.
That's the custom. Why didn't he ask his parents before he went to marry? Because the others didn't just go and marry. Like, what, you know, it seems like he didn't consult with them at all, and he should have consulted with them.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You know, Robbie, you were saying before that Yitzchak, you know, didn't do it on his own. His parents sent him. And the truth is, Yaakov does get sent. Yaakov is told, go to Haran and find a wife. He isn't just told, go to Haran. He's told, go to Haran and find a wife. Right? So he's told to do that. So, Clive, you're saying that maybe the Torah is making a commentary that, you know, it's not okay to start this process without your parents. Maybe that's one of the comments being made over here. Maybe. Okay, so what do you guys think? How many wives does Esav have at the end of the day? What do you think? Well, what's the minimum?
There are five mentioned, but there seems to be some question as to whether Bosmat and Ada are not the same person.
Right. There are at least five distinct names out of six total names. So the minimum I'd say is three. The maximum is six. Right? So let's see how this works out. So we'll start with Rashi, which I assume everybody who learned Rashi growing up is familiar with this. So Rashi makes a number of comments. What I want to do is I've structured the shiur on those three options, okay? Four options. Three, four, five, and six. Those are the four options of what we can do. And during the course of the shiur, we'll bring up various issues, but I just want to do it, we use that as the structure. So Rashi starts out with Ben Arba'im Shana. The Torah comments is that he's 40. And he says, Esav haya nimshal l'chazir. We're already starting with the blackballing of Esav. He's like a boar or a pig. Shnamar yichar semena chazir miya'ar. Which means what? Chazir hazeh. Kishu shochev. Poshet tlafav. Lomar ru'u shani tahor. Look at my hooves, you see that they are split hooves, which means that I'm kosher. Kach elu gozlim v'chomsim umarim atzmam ksherim. So too, Rishaim present themselves as being innocent and kasher. So how does this relate to Esav? Kol mem shana ya Esav tzad nashim mitachat ba'alein umaneotam kishaya ben mem amar abba ben mem shana nasa isha afani asekim. Esav, for years and years and years, whether you were wondering about whether or not these two women that he married at this point were his first two, the answer is no. He was going around grabbing women by the handful for years and years and years. And then he decided at the age of 40, it's time to settle down. Why is it time to settle down? Because this is when Abba got married. This is when Abba got married, so it's time for me to get married. That seems like the kind of thing that my father would want me to do, because this is what he did. So just like Yitzchak got married around 40, so he decides he's going to get married around 40. That's the significance of the 40 part of here. So Rashi reads it as quite critical of Esav, that he was, at the same time that he was trying to imitate Yitzchak, it was with a bit of dishonesty. He wasn't doing it with the best of intentions. Now, what about this Morat Ruach? So one of the questions that we could ask about these women, by the way, is what about their character? What do we know about these women? The Torah doesn't tell us anything about the women directly. The only comment that it really makes is this one, Morat Ruach, that they were Morat Ruach for Yitzchak and Rivka. So in what way were they making them bitter? So Rashi gives us a couple of options. Number one, he says, L'shonam Morat Ruach kamo mamrim hayitim. Kol ma'aseyen hayu l'hachis u'le'itzavon. Okay, so this is the worst, right? These are the worst daughters-in-law. Everything that they did was directed towards their mother-in-law and their father-in-law to make them unhappy. They showed no respect. They were completely rebellious and disrespectful of their in-laws and of their ways. Okay? So they were terrible girls. That's what was wrong with them. I didn't put it on over here. We'll see it later, though. That the other thing that happened is directly in the pasuk directly after this, it says that Yitzchak's eyes were dimmed. And Rashi makes three comments. He gives three theories about how this happened. And the first theory is that they were dimmed because these wives of Esav were constantly burning incense to their idols. And the smoke from the idols damaged Yitzchak's eyes. And that is connected to this morat ruach, that this ruach over here is the ruach of Ashan, that there's a hint over here to their burning incense to idols. So that's Rashi's comment over here. All right, fine. What about the daughter of Yishmael? Achot Nevayot, it tells us that Yishmael, that he married Machlat bat Yishmael, who was the son of Avram, who is the sister of Nevayot. Okay? So apparently he had a sister, Nevayot. Now why is that relevant? Mimashma shenemar bat Yishmael niyodeshi achot Nevayot, and the lamanu shemait Yishmael mishi yada leesav, kodem nisueha, v'hisiya Nevayot achiha. In other words, Nevayot married off this Machalat. That's what happened over here, that Yishmael died. That's the significance over here of telling you that she was Achot Nevayot. We'll get back to the death of Yishmael later. Now, how do we feel about this? So Mike, this is getting to your point, where was it really a good thing for Esav to marry the daughter of Yishmael? So in principle, it sounds like Rashi thinks, yes, it was a good thing. The problem was the way that he did it. What did Esav do wrong? So it says that it was good that he married Bat Yishmael, but Hosif Rishal Rishato Shalom Gireshet Rishonot, but he didn't divorce the first two. In other words, it's very nice that he married a good girl, but the bad girls are still there. And so that was not the best move on the part of Esav. Okay, thus far the character of these first three women. Now let's get into this thorny issue of the identification of the last three women. Rashi says that there are three of them.
Rodani, sorry.
Yeah, Robbie.
Can I just ask? We haven't seen any divorce up until now in the Torah. I'm right in saying that there's been no concept of divorce. People just married another wife. Why would he have thought to come up with a patent like of like Henry VIII of divorce?
It's a fair question. We do see Avram sending Hagar away.
Nachon, but we didn't see him bring you back afterwards.
Yeah.
We don't see him divorcing her.
Well, okay, so he could have at least sent them away. That was certainly an option. It's a fair question. It would have been the first recorded divorce, but fair question. Okay, now Rashi is going to tell us about who he thinks these last three women are. And the answer is he thinks they're the same as the first three women. All three of them. So Esav only had three wives. How are we going to work this out? So he says the first one that's mentioned in Perek Lamed Vav, that's in Parashat Vayishlach, Ada Bat Elon, that's the same as Basmat Bat Elon. Okay? So to be clear, you have over here Ada Bat Elon, okay, Hachiti. He wants to say that's the same as Basmat Bat Elon. Why does he want to say that? That's very simple, because they have the same father. Okay, that's fair. So they have two different names, but the same father. Then we've got, and the reason why the name was changed, by the way, Nikret Basmat, Hashem Shaita Mikateret Besamim LaAvodah Zarah, says because she used to do Besamim. So they changed, her original name was Basmat, that actually wasn't her name. His real name, it seems, was Ada. And he nicknamed her, or she got the nickname, of Basmat, because she used to burn incense. Then we get to Ahli Vama, okay? So Ahli Vama is the second woman who's a Canaanite woman. She's here, Ahli Vama bat Ana bat Sivon Achivi. So who's that? That's the other Canaanite woman. He Yehudit. That's Yehudit. V'hu kina shma Yehudit lomar she kofteret b'avodah zarah kedei lahatot et aviv. So here is more of Esav's trickery, according to Rashi. Esav renamed Ahli Vama Yehudit. Ahli Vama is her real name. Over here, you're getting all the real names. Adaz is the first one's real name. Ahli Vama is the second one's real name. Yehudit was a cover story. Yehudit was what Esav told Yitzchak in order to get Yitzchak to agree to let her come to dinner. He said, look, this is my Jewish girlfriend, Jewish wife, Yehudit. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Yes, I know what you're going to say, Robbie. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say that's ridiculous. Why did he call her Yehudit to pretend she's Jewish? And he called the other one Bosmat to show she was doing Avodah Zarah.
Ah, okay. Fine. That's fair. So I didn't know what you were going to say. I thought you were going to say, why would he call her Yehudit? There was no Yehudi yet. Right?
I'm questioning Rashi. I mean, what Rashi on the one hand says that he calls her Yehudit to pretend that she's good, and the other hand he says the other one we called Bosmat because she was sacrificing to Avodah Zarah.
Right, so maybe he learned his lesson. Maybe the first one he saw they were getting into fights, so he decided with the second one he was going to try to do it smoothly. And so he tried to trick Yitzchak by calling her Yehudit when in public. It didn't really work. Anyways, that's what Rashi says. What about the third one? So here, within the context of Yehudit, Rashi says the Torah gives us some more information about this Yehudit / Ahli Vama, that not only was she not such a great influence, but also she had not such great yichus. Why does the Torah say Bat Ana, Bat Sivon? Which one is it? She's either Bat Ana or she's Bat Sivon. Which one is it? So he says, in Batana, lo bat Sivon. So he explains, because these are both male names, Ana and Sivon. So he says, what happened? Ana b'no shel Sivon, shenemar ve'ela b'nei Sivon v'aya v'ana, based on a different pasuk. So what happened? Melamed, shebat Sivon al kalato isha eshet Ana v'yatzat alivama mi'ben shneihem. What happened? Sivon was the grandfather who basically had a child with his daughter-in-law who was married to his son, Ana. So Ahli Vama was basically the daughter of Sivon, the grandfather, and kind of the daughter of Ana. Not exactly, but kind of the daughter of Ana, because at least the daughter of Ana's wife. They were all mamzerim. The whole thing was off. Esav had no regard for yichus over here, no interest in trying to find a woman of pure lineage. Okay, fine. What about the third one? The third one should be okay, right? This is about Ishmael. So interestingly, he calls here Basmat Bat Ishmael. Ulhalan Karala Machalat, but this is formerly Machalat. What happened? So here finally Rashi cuts Esav some slack and says she was called Machalat because it was an indication that he got Mechila when he married her. Why? Because these kinds of people, these three people, always get their sins expunged. A Gershenit Gayer, someone who becomes of age, and a person who gets married. All three of these people have their sins wiped clean. Okay, so this is a good word to say under the chuppah. Right? We learned from Esav marrying Machalat Bat Ishmael that when a man marries, gets married, then and when the woman gets married, they have their sins wiped clean. We learned that from Esav, okay? I claim credit if anybody ever says that under a chuppah. So here it gets a little tricky because, you know, I have a question on this. Do you guys have any questions on this one? Well, just a simple question is, he married three times. So why aren't they all called machalat? Right? If every time he gets married, was there something special about marrying the bati of Ishmael? Maybe, maybe not. Don't know. But at least Rashi this time cuts Esav some slack and seems to imply that this was a good move and he got rewarded for it. But in all three of these cases, what's interesting is that Rashi is basically claiming that their real names are found only in Lamed Vav, and their pseudonames, their nicknames, are all in our parsha. Why would that be, by the way? Why would Rashi choose to say that their real names are there and their fake names are here? What do you think? I think it's simple. It's context. Over here, they're part of a story, and so their names can, you know, be part of the flow of the story. And so we're going to be a little fast and loose with the story. But later on, it's the genealogy. That's history. That's meant to be a little bit more accurate. You don't need to hint at anything. So over there, they're going to use their real names. Just notice that it's consistent, that Rashi basically consistently says that all three names in our parasha are fake names, and all the three names in Parashat Vayishlach are all the real names. Okay, we're not going to go through all the Midrashim over here that basically support Rashi's position. All the Midrashim support Rashi's position. They all basically assume that they're all three of them the same person. I do want to mention just some of the Mefarshei Rashi give some textual basis. So for example, Arielia Mizrahi, he points out that it says, Esav lakach neshav. Over here in Vayishlach, it says, Esav lakach et nashav mibnot Knaan. And the Mizrahi basically says, you know, it sounds like these are supposed to be women that we're familiar with. It doesn't sound like they're new women. It says he took his wives. It could have said Esav lakach nashim if there were new wives. The fact that it says nashav implies that these are women that we've already met. Okay?
The fact that it uses the word et defines them as specifically these three wives.
Fine. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, what you guys didn't point out is that not only did the wives' names change, but some of their father's name changed, right? And even their genealogy. In one place, she's a Chivi, in one place, she's a Chiti. Which one is it? So the Mizrahi says, Rashi fixes that as well, because you have Anan Tzivon, Shebao Chiti v'Chivi al Isha Achat v'nolad mimena Tzivon. Kemo Shebao Tzivon v'ana al Isha Achat v'nolad mimena Alivama. He says not only is Alivama the daughter of Mamzerut of some inappropriate mixings, but even Tzivon himself is the son of inappropriate mixing. He's both a Chivi and a Chiti. He comes from two different sides, and there was some shadiness involved over there. So that explains the father's names. The Gur Arye, the Maharal, gets involved in this as well. He says that Esav changed the name of the father. He says that's why we have a difference over here between when Yehudit is Bad Be'eria Chiti over here, because again, this is when Esav gets to identify his wives and he gets free reign to call them whatever he wants. Whereas really, in reality, her real name is Alivama Bat Ana Bat Tzivon Achivi. Why does he not want to call her Bat Ana? Because that's embarrassing, because she's a mamzer, once you mention that. So the Mefarshei Rashi just point out that not only does Rashi explain why the wives' names change, but also why their lineage is described differently. So they're pretty thorough over here. The Midrashim give other explanations, by the way. I want to highlight one of them. Over here, the Bereshit Rabbah, it says, Ada shaita mekashetet atzma leznut. So it says, over here it sounds like the Midrash is assuming that Ada is not her real name, and Ada over here is referring to the fact that she was anointing herself or adorning herself for promiscuous purposes. But really, really, I want to focus on this. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about how it's not so common to find the same name show up twice in Chumash and in Tanakh. You remember that? And we started naming them. So guess what? We just found another one. Is this the first time that Ada shows up in Chumash? It is not. It's not even the first time she shows up in this shiur. Amar Bezaria, Limedcha Katuv, Tafas Esav Darkan Shalanche Dora Mabul. Esav is acting like the people of the Dora Mabul. Why? Shekol Achad Mehem, Ayalokech Shtei Nashim. Achad the Piriya Berivya, the Achad the Tashmish, one for procreation and one for pleasure. The one that was for Priya Varivya, so she was basically, you know, the one, the birthing mother, right? Not treated very nicely, but was, you know, fattened up or taken care of so that she would be able to breed. But the one that was for pleasure, so she would always have the right amount of makeup, but she would be sterilized. So what happened? This happened over here. Shaina Mar Belemech. Okay, we talked about Lemech. Vayikach lo Lemech shtei nashim shem achat Ada shaita mu'edet lebeit mibeito v'shem hashanit Tzila shaita yoshevet b'tzilo. We actually talked about this at the time when we talked about Lemech. The Lemech was married to two women, and some explained that that the two women performed different roles. Ada was for mu'edet mibeito. So that means that she was for pleasure, and tzila was betzilo. We'll see. He's going to explain it. V'chein esav arasha lokach nikret ada shena ada mibeito. She was for the house. V'yehudit bat beiri lokach letashmish. I may have gotten it confused. Oh, I see. Rav Azariah switches it. He says Ada was supposed to stay in the house. She was for procreation. And that's what she was for. And Yehudit, she was for pleasure. She was for his tent. And one was for the house. The house was a place for raising children. The tent was for otoma aseh. So that's why she was called Alivama for being in the ohel, or she was called Basmat, right? She's the one who's called Basmat. Alivama is Basmat originally. Am I misremembering? Yes. Alivama. No. Yehudit. Sorry. Yehudit is Alivama. That's what he said, right? Yehudit is Alivama. That's why she's called Alivama. Okay, that one I don't totally understand. She agreed to be his wife. Okay, either way, the Midrash over here sees it in the opposite direction. That her real name, well, actually the Midrash doesn't comment about what her real name is either. Both names are metaphorical. But I think it's interesting that it comments about Esav's motivation in marrying two women. Which is not, he might have gotten it from his grandfather, from Avram, who married Sarah, and then when he wanted a child, he married Hagar as well. But that seems to be what Esav is doing over here, according to the Midrash. He's marrying two women, one for pleasure and one for procreation. All these explanations play fast and loose with the names by saying that the names are actually metaphorical. There is another game in town over here. That's the Radak. And the Radak says, Shnei Shemot Hayu L'Kol Echad Mehem. He says, who said that everybody had only one name? Maybe they had two names. And we don't even have to say that they're metaphorical names. They're real names. People could have more than one name. We certainly have this with royalty. You know, you have, a person can be given a name and then they could be given another name for another context. We have middle names also. We have all kinds of things. In different situations, I go by different names. My friends call me Danny. In school, I was Daniel. At work, I'm Daniel. Right? You have different names. Now, of course, they're all similar, but people can have different names that are different roles. I had a friend whose name was Daniel in Hebrew, and Daniel in English, Avraham in Hebrew. What his parents were thinking, I don't know, but that happens. So maybe these people just had different names. In different languages, in different cities, who knows?
That falls short, though, Rav, in terms of the genealogy, though, because it described the people that they came from were two different. I mean, at the one time it says Chiti, I forget what the other one was.
Chiti and Chivi, right.
Yeah.
So there you have to do some working out with, you know, in some places we focus on, they could have come from both nations. In some places we focus on their nationality over here, and in another place, am I Israeli or American, right? I'm both. So it could be that that one of them was sometimes more pronounced than the other. That could be. The Radak makes another point in terms of motivation, by the way. Look at this. He says, Aval migdoleam lakach, ki achar shem azkir shmoteam, nira ki ba'ale Hashem ayu. V'lichvod Yitzchak she'ya gadol v'nichbad b'neim l'tnurin lo. So the Radak again gives a little bit of credit to Esav by saying that Esav, when he married these women, he actually married them for their yichus, because these people, their parents, their fathers, actually were presumably important people, and that's why they're mentioned. I don't know exactly why the Radak thinks that mentioning the father's name should make them important, honestly, because it always mentions the father's name. But he at least suggests that Esav married them for kavod, and he wanted to give kavod to Yitzchak. It didn't end up working out, but that's what he was thinking. One more point that I wanted to make, the Abarbanel also goes in the root of Rashi in saying that they were the same three women. But he also says, Hayami Rishat Esav Shaloya Mochebi Dehenu Misarotan Karaui Lechvod Aviv Imo. He takes Esav to task for not properly keeping them in line. I don't know what he wanted them to, what he wanted Esav to do. I think I know what he wanted Esav to do. I just don't want to say it. But in order to make sure that they know that they can't disrespect his parents like that. So he thinks that that this is what Esav was being criticized for. And he says, that Rivka was upset about this, that not only did Esav marry girls that we don't like, but he's not even trying to rein them in. They're getting involved. They're bringing Avodah Zarah into the house. And he's not telling them, you know what, this is not what we do over here. He's making no attempts to show any respect to us. And this may have been what motivated Rivka to say, you know what, there's no way that he's getting the bracha. Okay, ad kan, the three-wife theory. This is by far the dominant theory amongst the Midrashim and amongst most of the Rishonim, I have to say, to assume that all the three women that he married were the same. What about the four wives theory? So you have the Sefer HaYashar, which is a very late collection of Midrashim. We'll read it in English, a description of what happened. The Sefer HaYashar says that first Esav marries Basmat Bat Elon Achiti. He called her Ada later on. Gives a reason for that. So this woman is the same. Basmat and Ada are the same. Fine. After describing Yaakov's flight to Haran, that wasn't first. First he married Yehudit. Then he marries Basmat. Then he definitely marries Mahalat, the daughter of Ishmael. Then, during Jacob's fifth year in Haran, Esav's wife Yehudit dies. So that's his first wife that dies, and she has no sons. That's why they're not mentioned. And then in the sixth year, Esav marries Olivama, who's the daughter of Anah. So that's a separate woman who presumably is related to, well, we don't know who she is, but she's a totally separate woman. So, and then Esav moves to where Olivama is from, so which means that if you count it, how many wives does Esav have total?
Four.
He's got four because one of them died and he married another woman. The Rashbam, this is a Midrash, right? So this is how the Midrash says it, you know, basically with authority, the authority of tradition. The Rashbam, not a traditionalist, right? The Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra are both Pashtanim par excellence. They try to avoid using Midrash to tell them what the Torah means. They just try to read it on its own terms. So he says, you'll notice that there's a discrepancy here with the names. Yesh lomar Yehudit bat Beri meta, belo banim. Ava bat Elon, ubat Ishmael, ayu lehem banim, amufurashim kan. Valivama bat Ana bat Zivon achivi, lakach achar kach. Same thing as the Sefer Yasha. Same exact thing. That Yehudit died, the other two are the same people. Yehudit died, and Olivama is a separate person. Okay, so that gives you the four wife theory. The Ibn Ezra kind of sums this up by saying, "Ubasmat hi ada. V'yesh la bet shemot u'bamikra nimtzaim l'me'ot ken. He says there's hundreds of these cases. There's hundreds of cases where you have to identify one person as being the same as another person, even though they have the same name. This comes up a lot when you look through Divrei Hayamim, and you see a story that is, you know, it's clear that it's the same story as another story. So it has to be that the names here have been changed, but they're really the same people. There's one thing about this that gives me pause, okay? Does Tanakh know how to say that this person is the same as that person? They just have two different names? Where do we know that Tanakh does know how to do that? I can think of one example. It's a late example, so I don't really necessarily expect the Chumash to know how to do that, but I know that at least in one place, Tanakh knows how to do this.
It does it very early on with places. Kiryat Arba, Hebron, Shvati, Beit Lechem.
That's true. It does do it with places. What about with names? Are there any names that come up that the Torah or the Tanakh immediately says, this is the same person as that person, just a different name?
Well, there's the constant change between Yaakov and Israel.
Okay, that's fair. It
goes back and forth and back and forth.
That's true. That's true.
It's said to be corrected in the Megillah.
That's right. The Megillah.
With Esther and...
It says Hadassah hi Esther. Mm-hmm. Hadassah hi Esther. It says explicitly that Hadassah is the same person as Esther. That's the only place that I can think of. There may be others. We've got tons of other cases, though, where we traditionally say that two different people have the same name, Yiska and Sarah, Shifra and Puah and Miriam and Yocheved, or there's some discrepancy over there between the names. But you have tons of cases.
Yitro.
Yitro, Reuel, yeah, plenty of cases. Yaakov and Yisrael, someone said, yeah. So that's the four-wife theory. Then you have the five-wife theory. So this is the Ramban. And I like this theory, I have to be honest, not just because I love the Ramban, but also I think it's a solid theory. Hitachein lomar, ki ashtayim nashim ehem metu b'lo banim. He says, you know what, I think both of the first two women died without any children. Ulainen shuba vorshayu marat ruach li'itzak li'ufka. You know why they died? Because they were terrible women. They were terrible wives. And you know what? When Esav remarried, he wasn't married anymore. Who said that he was ever married, that he was married to those two women when he married Mahalat Bat Ishmael? Rashi says, quoting the Midrash, hey, that was a bad move. Why didn't you divorce the first two women? So Ramban clears it up. You're right, Rabbi, he didn't divorce them. You know what happened? They died. They died, and he married because he saw that, you know, this was the wrong thing to do. The only problem with the Ramban's theory, what's the problem with the Ramban's theory? Because basically he says that the first two women he married died. He married Mahalat. Then he married two other women. And he eventually says over here that in fact, Basmat and Mahalat are the same person. Mahalat karat shema b'shem nechbar asher haya li'ishto rishona. So apparently Basmat was a very nice name. He liked that name. So he renamed Mahalat. I'm not sure how she felt about this, but he renamed Mahalat in memory of his first wife's name. Okay. Milashon Besamim, he turned it around. He said, Milashon Besamim, Ki hayta chaviva lav bavur shehayta mimishpachto v'enena ra'a b'nei Yitzchak aviv. Says, Besamim is a nice name. Basmat, it's a nice name. It means Besamim, incense. It's a nice name. Fine. But what problem do I have with this? In terms of
Nashav,
what's that?
It says Vaykachit Nashav. Now they would have had wives also because they married three additional.
Well, he definitely had three wives at that point. And basically the Ramban says there were five women. There were five wives. The first two died. But what's the problem in terms of motivation? According to Ramban, why did he marry Mahalat Bat Ishmael?
You see, I mean, if we're going on the theory that it was to please his parents, they seem to turn 180 degrees back from that again.
Yes.
Married the other two.
Yes. In other words, I don't understand. He married Mahalat because he saw that his parents didn't like the Benot Knaan. But then he turned around and married two more Benot Knaan. In fact, he married it seems, the sister of one of his first wives. So what happened over here?
We tried. I mean, you know, it's happened.
Saying it was backsliding.
It happens to people, I understand. They go, well, they've got a good path, and then they slip back a bit.
Could be.
Someone told me about someone like that once.
About people that slide?
Yeah, that happens. You know, you try and you've gotten a good dirk for a while and then...
Yeah. You know. No, I hear that. Okay, then we get to the six wives theory. This is the easiest one. Okay? The Avram ben Arambam. See, I saw this quoted in an article and then I had to look it up, and I have to be honest, I was a little bit nonplussed when I saw what it was that they were actually quoting. Because basically, I'll read it with you. He says... Basically, Rashi. They're all the same women. Ve'efshar gam kein shanashim eila einan otan hanashim ve'eila yishiru banin achareim ve'otan meitu b'lo banim v'aperish harishon karav yoter. So basically he says maybe v'derech efshar the first three women he married, so that's Ada, I'm going to try to do this without looking it up, Ada, Basmat, and Machalat, all three of them didn't have any kids. And that's why they're not mentioned in the genealogy. And then he married three more women. What's her name? Yehudit. No, I think Yehudit was at the beginning, right? Anyways, Yehudit, another Basmat, and Olivama. And those three women had children. So he married a total of six. Problem is, he says, Va'perish harishon karov yoter. So this isn't, you can't really ascribe this to Rav Avraham ben Arambam because he doesn't even like this theory. But, you know, it's certainly the easiest theory in terms of the text. You know, you get out of all your problems. Just say that there are six different women. The first three women didn't have children, so they're not mentioned in the genealogy. The last three women had children, so they're mentioned over there.
The fact that he says the Efshar gives me to believe that he's not crazy about this theory himself.
He's not crazy about the theory. He says a perish harishon karov yoter. He thinks Rashi is right. Okay. So just to recap, we had four different options. You had the by far the dominant view that Esav really only had three wives. And then there's back and forth about whether they were metaphorical names, which are the metaphorical names, what's the metaphor over here, or whether or not they're real names. Then you have the four-wife theory, that of the Radakni Ben Ezra, that just says that one of them passed away and he married another one. And then you have the five-wife theory, that of the Ramban, who says that actually the first two died because they were punished for being idolatrous. I guess maybe you could suggest that at least the last two that he married, the Canaanite women that he married, maybe they weren't idolaters, maybe they were reformed. Who knows? That's an option. To explain why Esav would be okay marrying them. And then the last theory is the six-wife theory. To be honest, you know, I just think it's interesting in terms of pshat and dealing with a difficulty in the text. It's of interest. Erev Tov, Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Shakach.